Hey, Black Panthers hit the $1 billion mark. We got South by Southwest scoop and so much more. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. This is Carla Renata, your girl, the Curvy Critic, here for another edition of Black Tomatoes. It's our fourth show, yo. I can't believe it. So
We've made it.
And we have so much to talk about. Scott's been at Southwest. South by Southwest. I've seen some things, but we're going to get right into it, and we're going to start talking about Love, Simon. But before we do that, we're going to watch the trailer real quick.
And I want someone to share it with.
But to find any way to your wild heart.
Have you ever been in love?
I think so.
These last few years, it's almost like I can feel you holding your breath.
I'm supposed to be the one that decides when and where and who knows. That's supposed to be my thing.
Disclaimer, this is about to get romantic as F.
You're not into Abby, are you?
She's cute, but yeah. She's just not really my type. Mm. Not because she's black. I love black women. Not like I have a thing for black women. I just love all women.
I love that trailer. It's hilarious. And you know, this film, I didn't get an opportunity to see this one yet, but this film is getting a lot of buzz on the internet. People are going in and they either really, really like it or they really, really don't. And when they really, really don't, they like it for reasons that don't have anything to do with the film.
Right? Absolutely.
So why don't you tell us about it since you saw it?
I mean, I think this is going to be the feel-good coming-of-age film of the year, especially since it deals with coming out. Something that we very rarely have seen from mainstream movies, especially ones that are geared towards teenage audiences. And I applaud this film because this is going to do something for the mainstream that Call Me By Your Name was hoping to do for the mainstream, but only did for independent movies.
Oh, right. Call Me By Your Name. It kind of got lost during the war season,
It sure did. Besides us. You know, like the critics were like, oh, you have to see it. Everyone else was like, I don't really care.
Everybody was like, wah, wah, wah.
But this, I think this movie is just, it's impossible not to love this movie. I don't know what the haters are saying on the internet, but I'm going to ignore them because I just think this is a feel great movie, but it's also very important because it showcases what it's like for a kid to come out of the closet to his parents, to his friends, and just be accepted in a high school setting. Yes, maybe in LA it's, you know, a dime a dozen, but middle America, people who are not as open, people who have Christian backgrounds and whatnot, this is a very important film for people to see.
I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I come from Missouri, and in the state of Missouri, being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender,
yeah,
anything along those lines was considered taboo and people didn't embrace it. And I was that chick that everybody would confide in. All my gay friends would tell me they were gay and they were in the closet for years before they were able to come out. So hopefully, like you said, this generation of kids won't have to endure that humiliation that comes along with just embracing your unique self. You know what I mean? All right, so did you see Unsane?
I did not.
Okay, let's show the trailer for Unsane.
For everyone, especially yourself, if you just do as I ask.
There's been some kind of mistake.
By signing this, you've consented to voluntary commitment.
I am being held here against my will.
Do you know how many calls the cops get like that every week?
Those are from crazy people. All the way here from Boston.
I'm calling the cops. I want him arrested.
I'm getting you!
My stalker is here.
We did a thorough background check.
You should be protecting me.
Mom, no one believes me.
I'm getting you out.
There's nothing we can do unless you have proof that a crime's been committed.
You need to get out of this room!
I must be insane.
my mom didn't pick up last night.
I'm already surprised that you've seen this movie.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this movie. That trailer is almost as crazy as that movie is. When I tell you this movie is like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets Misery, that's what it's like. Okay. It's really...
Shot on an iPhone too, right? The entire movie.
Yes, it's really... really, really good. And it's in Steven Soderbergh is directing it. Claire Foy from The Crown is in it. This is a huge departure for her because we're used to seeing her. Honestly, I didn't see Claire Foy before The Crown. I didn't even know who she was.
No, no one did.
And now since she's been on The Crown, I'm used to seeing her, you know, being pulled up playing the Queen of England. But baby, in this movie right here, she's so crazy that you don't know whether what she's experiencing in this film really happened or if she imagined it all. It's crazy.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I see it on Monday.
I was jumping out of my seat. There was another young lady from AfterBuzz at the screening, and we were sitting next to each other. Child, we were talking to the screen. We were jumping up. It was way too many things. I was like, no, get me out of here. It was so good, you guys. You have to go see it. It was so good. All right, now, the big release of the weekend is Alicia Vikander in Tomb Raider, and we'll show a little bit of that clip too so that we can talk about her.
Open the tomb!
Finger that's pulling this trigger.
You messed with the wrong family.
Yes, Miss Alicia. Miss Alicia has resurrected the whole Tomb Raider franchise. The last time we saw it was
20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago, and Angelina Jolie was playing Lara Croft, and now we got Alicia Vikander. And again, this is a huge departure for her, because the last time we saw her, she was in a movie being all pulled up that she won an Oscar for, so there's that. But you saw, I didn't get a chance to see this one either, okay. So you saw it.
Yes, you know, the movie you're talking about is Ex Machina, mm-hmm. and she's just terrific in that film. Mm-hmm. And then she actually went on to do a couple of, like, small independent films that went absolutely nowhere. I saw them at Toronto, no release date to be found. They're not very good. But Tomb Raider, I really enjoyed this movie.
I love these kind of movies. I can't wait.
There's been zero, I will say this, zero good video game movies. Zero. And this movie is just, it's not fantastic, okay? Like, it has flaws. You can pull it apart if you want to be analytical and criticize it. You can criticize it to death. But Alicia in this role is what makes this movie so great. She brings a level of believability to the performance. She looks like she's having fun. There's emotion. She nails it. I'm very happy for her. And I heard she was part of the script as well. Oh, like, she actually, like,
she had input.
So
that's huge.
Yes. I interviewed the writer a couple weeks ago. If you want to check it out, it's on We Live Entertainment. And she was saying that Alicia actually read through the script and actually had suggestions. And that's why the movie went through different versions.
Oh.
And she had a lot to say about it. And she wanted to make sure that the heart and soul was there first. Oh. And she wanted to be a part of it.
Okay.
But this is the first video game movie that I can actually give a thumbs up to. Seriously.
Okay. All right. Well, then moving on to Flower. Let's show the trailer for that. I love Tomb Raider. Me too, Marissa.
You get it?
No, I'm trying to find the right filter.
Buying tampons, like, what's it to you?
Hey! Ah! What just happened?
We're vigilantes.
Cheers.
Are you okay?
No, I'm obviously not okay.
That looks like a lot of fun.
It's a quirky little comedy, that's for sure.
It looks like it's a lot of fun. So it's another coming of age
yes,
story.
Yes, it's another coming of age story, but it's funny because most of those is like the fall from innocence mm-hmm. kind of type of thing. This one is a teenager who's regaining her innocence because she's a lot of people don't know this, but like millennials nowadays, they don't really view many types of, you know, oral sex and that kind of stuff as actual physical sex. It doesn't have as much weight as probably. You
know, which is really funny to me. I'm like, child, sex is sex.
I know, right.
If your mouth is doing anything but being on your face, I'm just saying. Like, what the hell?
But I'm telling you, I have a couple younger brothers, and when they were in high school and middle school, the conversations that they would have, and I would hear about things that were going on that bus, it's very interesting because it talks about it a little bit in this movie. The whole joke about this movie is that Zoe Deutsch's character is viewed as like this slut because she's basically will give every single person oral sex. That's what it is. And then she finds out that the guy that her mom's dating actually has a son, and he's actually in rehab. And one of the things that happened why he was in rehab is because he was actually molested by someone who she actually has a crush on. It's a guy, an older guy at the local bowling alley. So the whole movie basically goes on as a revenge tale. And she winds up, you know, taking down this guy who turns out to be a pedophile.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And there's a love story in it. It's very different. It's unique. It's crazy.
Okay, but hold up. She's not messing around with the pedophile, though.
No, okay. No. She no.
I was like, ooh, that's
no.
A whole different kind of movie.
That's the surprise of the movie. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's not real. It's the plot description says it as it is. Mm-hmm. But, ultimately, she has a crush. They all like crushing on her, on this guy. And when the brother gets released from, well, not the brother, but, you know, her soon-to-be brother gets released, they find out that that was the guy who did something to him when he was a little kid. Oh. And that's what really screwed him up and why he was in rehab. So she goes on this revenge with her friends to kind of exploit him. So it's funny because it's very timely to now, you know, mm-hmm. with so much stuff going on with women mm-hmm. exposing men. And this guy being a pedophile, it really works. And I think Zoe Deutsch, who was in Before I Fall last year, she's and Everybody Wants Some the year before that. She's an incredible talent. I really wish she was getting more work.
Oh, I like her.
I do too.
She's cool.
But they just, you know, I'm hoping that this movie does well. I think Kim Kardashian gave this movie a shout out on Twitter, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Which Kardashian?
I think Kim. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that either, but but I love you, Zoe. So keep making movies.
I'm not going to hate on Kim Kardashian. She got more money than I got, yeah, so there's that. Yeah. So I want to talk about this little film that I saw. I love dance movies.
Sure.
I love dance movies, mostly because I just love to look at the choreography and be reminded of what I can no longer do because I used to be a dancer. But I saw this film called Heartbeats, and it was directed and written by this man named Dwayne Adler, who did Save the Last Dance. He did Make Your Move. He did the Step Up franchise. Oh. He did all of those things. So I had an opportunity to talk to him. We're going to run his interview. It runs about 4 minutes and let you listen to what he had to say. We talked about a job that he had before he started writing and and directing dance movies. And then he has a couple of things to say about Save the Last Dance. And then I'll talk about that.
Sure.
Make it done.
Hey, it's your girl Carla Renata for Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live. Save the Last Dance, the Step Up franchise, and Make Your Move all have one thing in common. Director, screenwriter Dwayne Adler. Other than making unknowns like Scandal's Kerry Washington, Channing Tatum, Sean Patrick Thomas, and Julia Stiles superstars, Adler has single-handedly revived dance movies as a popular art of entertainment. Dwayne sat down with me recently to discuss America's Funniest Videos and his latest dance film, Heartbeats. I did see something when I was researching you that made me laugh out loud. How do you go from working at America's Funniest Videos to writing dance movies?
Well, you know, as we all do, well, not everyone, but when I moved out here to L.A., America's Funniest Videos was one of the first jobs I landed, and I worked in the screening department. I got to look at a very diverse culture slice of America, of all the quote funny videos that get submitted, and I was one of the team that went through those and whittled them down to the ones that may or may not be funny.
That is hysterical. What would you say was the funniest one you ever saw?
there were so many charming ones with babies and animals. I mean, probably something with a dog. Probably was something with a dog and a baby interacting for the first time. I remember there was one where a baby. I think she literally discovered the dog for the first time. And you know, she was probably like 8 months, 6, 8 months old. The dog had been around. People write a little note and they explain what you're about to watch. And suddenly, the little baby got so tickled and just would not stop laughing. Would not stop touching the dog. It's like she realized the dog was real. Maybe she thought it was a toy or something. And the dog got so happy and just basically attacked her, licking her, like he'd been waiting his whole life for this moment. So it's not, maybe that's not the funniest, but that's one that
stuck out. Okay. Yeah. When people see heartbeats here in America, what is the one thing you would like for them to take away from it?
A couple things. First, I mean, the goal with this kind of a movie and this movie is to feel good. You know, you want to leave the theater sort of on a high note. That these two young people met, they were oceans apart, and an ocean couldn't keep them apart.
Ooh, I like that.
And maybe true love can win out. Maybe being true to yourself. Maybe you need someone to believe in you to reach your own dreams. Because they do. They both, Kelly and Asim, believe in each other. And then you want someone in the audience to see a version of themselves, whether that's Kelly dealing with family issues, whether the girl in the audience is a dancer or not. Sometimes mom or dad want something different from you. They want you to be something you're not. And you have to sometimes make a choice that I'm going to be who I am, and I know it's going to hurt this relationship. And family is ultimately family no matter what you do. Kelly has her family with her parents and her little sister, and Asim has his family, his Indian family in India, and his grandparents and his roommate and his friend Deepika. And his dance crew. So they're all kind of, this kind of like a family story. So I'm hoping that people can just somehow relate to someone they know or something in themselves. I think that's the ultimate goal. And to be entertained, because, you know, the dance numbers are a lot of fun. And if you're a fan of dance, you don't often get to see like some of the Bollywood style numbers before.
Yeah, they're beautiful, by the way. So congratulations
on that. Yeah, no, I was very lucky. I had a wonderful choreography team and the skill players that on our crew were really good.
It was really, really fun to talk to you. I'm so glad I got to tell you that I'm a big fan of your work, and I was really honored to be able to take the time to speak to you today. So thank you.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Carla.
Heartbeats, directed and written by Dwayne Adler, can be seen in select theaters and on demand on March 20th. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Carla Renata with Black Tomatoes at Black Hollywood Live. Until the next time, love, peace, and hair grease.
All right. So that was a cute little
interview.
Very nice. Thank you. We talked about a lot of other things too, but we mostly talked about Heartbeats and the fact that all his other dance movies pretty much took place in America. Except for one. Well, yeah, they all took place in America, and I think Make Your Move, the love interest was Japanese, so there was more credence played to that art of dancing. And Save the Land's Dance, it was more hip-hop, you know, this black boy teaching this white girl how to do hip-hop. Make Your Move, it was this white boy teaching this Japanese girl. And in Save the Last Dance, in Heartbeats, it was Bollywood, and in Step Up, it was Channing Tatum and another girl. So it was really, really, really cool. And I enjoyed watching the dance numbers because they're always the dance numbers in Dwayne's movies are always very electric, no matter what film it is. It's always very, very electric. And I was fascinated and tickled by the fact that he worked at America's Funniest Videos. Like, how do you do that? How do you go from that to like directing dance movies? That's hysterical to me. But, I enjoyed this film. It was cute. The pacing was a little slow.
Yeah.
But for people that like dance and are fans of Dwayne Adler and his dance movies, they are going to love this. So it opens on March 20th, like I said, and we'll see that when it hits the theaters.
Very nice.
Now for the big conversation of the night, South by Southwest. Give us the scoop. But wait, there's more. We're going to watch a trailer from A Quiet Place before you get into it.
Okay.
Who are we if we can't protect them? We have to protect them.
Okay, let me just tell you something. When I watched this trailer and I saw that hand coming up, I'm like, yeah, I won't be seeing this movie. Is it a scary movie?
I was going to say, this is your must-see film of 2018.
Oh, hell no. If it is horror in any shape, form, or fashion, yours truly will not be going to check it out.
I know. I thought about you when I watched this movie.
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
It is fantastic.
Is it a thriller or is it a horror movie?
Okay, so the people on the internet thought that this was going to be a Cloverfield movie. This was like rumors going around on the internet. Mm-hmm. Was like, oh, this is just going to be another Cloverfield movie. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I actually talked to the writers. Again, that's on We Live Entertainment. And they were talking about how they loved hearing that and they didn't even want to bother putting it to bed. They were just kind of like, let people think whatever the hell they want or let mm-hmm. it die, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is a monster movie. But it's a monster movie that's based around sound. And the whole thing about this movie is that everyone has to be quiet. And they
Why does everybody have to be quiet?
Because the monsters are attracted to sound. So if anyone talks,
okay.
If anything drops, they come and find you.
So that's why it's called A Quiet Place.
Right.
Okay.
So you don't know anything really about how any of this happened. All you do is you see this family, and it's John Krasinski, it's Emily Blunt, it's Millie Simmons from Wonderstruck, who is always amazing, and Noah Jupe. And it's the four of them. And the entire, almost half, I'm not even half, 80% of this movie is told through sign language and people whispering. Oh. So there's like 20% dialogue in this movie. And it's as entertaining, as engaging. It is intense from the very first scene.
It's going to scare me, isn't
it? Yes, it is. And it has a
because I want to see it, but I'm like, I can't.
Ending. Oh, the ending? You think you were talking to the screen and Unsane? Wait until you see the ending of this movie.
Okay.
Wait until you see the ending of this movie.
All right. Let's go on to Ready Player One, because Ready Player One is directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yes, it is.
And I remember getting a text from you. You were so excited that you saw it. So let's look at that trailer real quick.
Who is this Parzival, and how the hell is he winning?
Find him. This isn't just a game. I'm talking about actual life and death stuff.
The Oasis,
the world's most important economic resource.
And it's nothing less than a war for control of the future.
Welcome to the rebellion, Wade.
All right, but it's not opening until March 30th, right?
Right.
Okay, so tell us about Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One.
So it's based on the very popular novel by Ernest Cline, mm-hmm. and the entire novel is all about pop culture. Mm-hmm. It's written by a fanboy. He loved the 80s, and everything you can imagine from the 80s is in there, from Pac-Man to the DeLorean to Back to the Future. Everything's in there. And Steven Spielberg, God bless that man, he literally, like, you know, he's not afraid of anything, you know, and he takes on this project that the visual aspect of this movie, I have never seen visuals like this. And it
looks amazing.
Every week we talk about things where it's like, oh, that was visually great. Wrinkle in Time was visually great. But this is
This
is next level. I'm telling you, this is like, remember the movie Valerian from last year, which everyone was talking about the visuals aspect?
Yeah.
This is like that on acid. Like, that's how, like, insane
it's
the visuals
intense.
Are. Yeah.
Wow.
And, I mean, it might be a little bit much for some because it runs about 2 hours and 20 minutes. And about 70% of the movie is that in that visual virtual reality world.
It's kind of like, what was that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Was it Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Which one are you talking about?
The one where he was...
Are you talking about Doom with Dwayne Johnson?
No. This was... what is the name of that movie? Sharon Stone was in it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it. I can't think of the name of that movie. I can't believe I can't think of the name of this movie. It was that movie. And they went... He wanted to go on a vacation, and he did this whole virtual reality thing, and he thought that Sharon Stone was against him as his wife.
I remember it, yeah.
It starts with a T. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, we'll get to that later. But finish talking about the movie.
I was amazed by this movie because, first of all, the visuals are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who loves pop culture themselves, mm-hmm. seeing
totally
things...
Cool.
Total Recall.
Thank you. Thank you, Marissa. I was having a nervous breakdown. I'm like, I know the name of this movie.
The visuals are fantastic, but the elements of pop culture that they incorporate into this movie is just, you have to watch it over and over and over again to get all the references. And I mean, there's things from the smallest movie in like the 70s all the way up to like Halo from like 2000 in this movie. And just DeLorean, I don't want to spoil it, but this is a fan movie. This is like,
So you really like it.
I think the critics are going to be kind of like middle of the road on it.
Okay.
But I think fans of pop culture, fans that love like comic books and video games and music and everything, it's like the cluster of everything that they want in a movie.
Okay.
And I think it's really rewarding. And if not for anything else, I think you will be blown away by the visuals.
Would you say this was one of the highlights of South by Southwest?
For me, still, The Quiet Place was like that movie. That was the opening night film, and that set the bar. And I don't think anything reached that bar after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how about Family? Did it come close?
It did. Family did come close. Taylor Schilling from Orange is the New Black is a... can we curse on this? We can't curse, right? A-hole. She's an a-hole. And... she basically doesn't want, she thinks everyone else is beneath her. She's very snooty. And she gets a call from her brother, basically asking her to come over and watch her niece. Mm-hmm. And she hates kids. She hates people. She doesn't want to deal with anything. And she meets her niece. And her niece is this weirdo. I mean, she's just a social outcast. Mm-hmm. But in a weird way, she starts connecting to her niece. Mm-hmm. And they have this really great bonding experience over the time where they're dealing with, like, where the brother's dealing with his mother-in-law actually about to pass. Mm. And
is it a drama or a comedy?
No, it's a comedy. It's a dysfunctional family comedy.
Okay.
And the way that Taylor Schilling, who, you know, you watch her on Orange is the New Black, mm-hmm. and you're kind of like, okay, she's playing the same. You know, after a couple seasons, you're like, all right, I'm done with this. She has amazing comedic timing. Oh, my God.
Of course she does. Hilarious. She has comedic timing on Orange is the New Black,
but you
got
to hear her, like, the one-liners that she says in this movie. Like, Ashley saw this movie with me. There's a line about Burger King that she, like, Ashley couldn't stop laughing for, like, 5 minutes
straight. She has one-liners on Orange is the New
she
Black
She does,
all the time.
But this is, like, this. She's, like, at the forefront of this movie, and like, okay. Orange is the New Black in the beginning she was, and now it came all yeah. about the secondary characters, mm-hmm. and all these storylines, mm-hmm. and race wars, and mm-hmm. all that other stuff, mm-hmm. and it started losing me. But regardless, she just, this is an incredible film. And you know what else it deals with? You're not going to know what this is. Probably most people who are watching this won't know what it is.
What?
It deals with the Juggalo community. Do you know what that is?
What the hell is that?
Insane Clown Posse is a really like hardcore metal band, and it's these they dress up in these
I can't
yeah they dress up in clown makeup and they get together and they have these
events.
And that's
why I don't know nothing about it, because right, me and right. clowns
yeah
like
yeah,
I can
yeah.
deal with them, but they I'm not trying
Think
to like
about it.
I'm not trying yeah. to roll up in a clown posse.
But it's really good. Honestly, that's a small percentage of the movie. You see it for Taylor Schilling, mm-hmm. and she delivers in this movie. Incredible.
Okay. All right. And Summer 03?
Another coming-of-age movie.
There's a lot of coming-of-age
movies.
There is
a lot of coming-of-age movies, yes.
My goodness.
Yes. And that's what makes the one we're going to talk about right after this a little bit worse.
Because I love that one.
Summer 03, Joey King. You know, we pretty much grew up. I feel like I've grown up watching her career, mm-hmm. and Rebecca Gleason, who wrote and directed this movie. It's about this girl who finds out on her grandmother's deathbed that she has two secrets. The one secret is that she was baptized, mm-hmm. Even though she's part Jewish, and
okay.
the second half is that. Her grandmother wishes she was told that she needed to learn how to give good oral sex.
I can't.
So,
oh my God, yes. What is it with the sex in these movies
yeah,
and
right.
these teenagers?
So
what is going
the
on?
The whole entire movie is basically Joey King trying to figure out like sex, you know, her sexual exploration. She falls for a guy who is a soon-to-be priest. and it gets really interesting. Let's just put it that way. But it's really funny. Again, it's quirky. It's different. It's weird. That's why I love independent movies, because they make bold choices.
Yeah, they
do. And they, it's all in the writing. It's mm-hmm. not visual gags.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in the writing. So okay, I really recommend it.
Okay, speaking of bold choices, let's run the next trailer.
I'm fully planning on having sex tonight.
Wherever the night takes us.
The night's gonna take us there.
Wherever the wind sails our ships.
Your ship is going into my harbor.
They're getting away. WWVDD.
What would Vin Diesel do?
Hey, Fast and the Furious is completely unrealistic. It's not a documentary, I get that.
I'll do anything for my daughter.
What about a chugging contest?
Bring it.
No, we're chugging, right?
We're butt chugging.
On the count of three.
Oh, okay, can I just tell you, I had never heard a butt chugging. I was like, what the hell is that? I was like, this is some crazy frat boy stuff. That's what this is. Is the whole movie like that? It is.
Unfortunately.
I love those kind of movies, because you know what? Sometimes you just need to laugh.
I agree.
Sometimes you just need to laugh.
I agree.
As stupid as it is, sometimes you just need to laugh over nothing.
I agree.
And that's all you're going to say about that. Okay.
No, I am good. I need to talk about this movie. Okay. So it's Kay Cannon, who is the screenwriter for Pitch Perfect. She mm-hmm. wrote 1, 2, and 3. 3, it's kind of wonky because I heard some other people stepped in and tweaked the script, but mm-hmm. she's behind the first two movies. Mm-hmm. And she's incredibly talented. She directs this movie, but it's written by 5 guys, which clearly shows in the type of humor that is presented.
Yeah, ain't no girl going to write about butt chugging.
Exactly. I'm just saying. Exactly. And for me, what it is that I know this is a genre, and I'll be the first person to admit this. These type of movies don't really work for me. But considering it's a female director,
I can always tell when something's not working for you. Because you get real quiet. You just go like this and you shake your head. And
well,
I'm like,
you know, it's funny how you mentioned the butt chugging joke, because my wife was like really big on seeing this movie too, because of the fact that she's like, oh, female director. And she said she was on board for the movie until it got to that. And then she's just like, it lost me. And then when she came home and wrote her review, she said like, oh, this is because guys wrote this movie. And when you watch the movie, you have 3 central young females in the center of this movie. But essentially what happens is you get pulled back from that and it focuses on the adults and it loses steam for doing so. Like, those girls are really good and really funny, even though they're all kind of like cliched characters, you know, like they're stereotypes. They're high school students, you know, mm-hmm. you know that they were going to do that with this mm-hmm, movie, mm-hmm. but there's elements there, like where they deal with the one girl's trying to figure out ways of coming out mm-hmm. and figuring out her sexuality. A lot of movies about sexuality, apparently, at South by. but when it pulls back and it's like these parents are going after these kids over and over again, it starts like at first you're kind of like, that's a funny idea, but then it keeps going and it keeps going. And it's like the butt chugging scene, you know, like, and then it's like, how can we tackle this next? And then we have that scene where they show in the trailer where it's like, we're going to do a Fast and the Furious chase to find them. And it just, it's like, keep pushing that envelope, keep pushing the envelope, keep pushing the envelope. And it just, after a while, it just gets tired. It gets really tired. You'll like it. I think you're going to like it. You and I will disagree on this. It's fine.
It looks like something I probably would like just because it's stupid. And yeah. I love those kind of movies. All right. So let's talk about You Can Choose Your Family.
Oh, okay. This is an interesting film. Not about sex, thankfully.
I think we've gone through all the sex movies, and then I was like, okay, no, we're not.
There's one more?
There's one more.
Okay. Jim Gaffigan stars in this movie, as well as Logan Miller, and that's really the only two people who really matter to this film.
And he had a TV series on FX, Jim Gaffigan did.
Jim Gaffigan, he has, no, you're thinking about the TV Land. He had his own TV Mm-mm. show. No,
Jim Gaffigan had a TV series on FX.
He did too? Okay.
Yep,
he also had the Jim Gaffigan show on TV.
Yeah,
Land.
No, I'm not talking about that one.
Okay, there's another one. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Those Who Can't. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I really like him. I didn't see that show. So thank you for teaching me something. I'll have to go home
no
and look over it.
No worries. You're welcome.
And he's going kind of against type with this movie, and I really admire that about him. So essentially what the plot is that Logan Miller plays his son, and he's going away for spring break. He goes without permission, and he goes to hang out at a pool. Out of the side of his eye, he sees his father. And his father's going over to this young hot thing. And we think, like, okay, that's what we think, right? We think, like, oh, he's cheating on the mom and whatnot. And it turns out he has a completely separate family. He has a whole second family. And the second family, he treats so much different than his first family.
That's the title. You can choose your family. Okay.
Right. And it's just like a lot of comedic hijinks. And I really appreciate the way that this movie is edited together and how the story is told, because it does not follow a formula. It's not like a Hollywood movie of like, oh, you knew what was going to happen at the end. It's very realistic in its approach. And it's sad in a lot of ways when it comes to the end. But there's also like a sweetness to it, because while some of the relationships don't like, I don't know, they don't come from full circle again, like they wind up falling apart. He builds this relationship with his son, who he never really had that strong of a relationship with before.
Okay.
And it's again, comedy, but drama. It's well done. It's really a character study. It reminds me of like those great character driven movies from like the 80s and the 90s, where you're focused on like two or three people, and that's what sells the movie, not the plot or the action or anything like that.
Okay. So let me talk about another one of the sex movies that was at South by Southwest, because this one I actually did see, but I saw it by accident. So I was okay. So there's a great story that goes with this. So I was supposed to go to a screening for Traffic.
Okay.
Which is what I thought I was going to. And I show up at this venue and they're like, oh, are you here for the screening? I'm like, yes. They're like, okay, it's in this room over here. I'm like, okay, cool. They say, everybody's at the bar. They'll be in a minute. And I'm sitting there. Now, Traffic is a mostly African-American film. I'm sitting there and I'm watching white person after white person come filter in this room. And I'm the only black person in the room. I'm like, I don't think I'm here for the right movie. I think I might be here on the wrong day. Turns out I was. Turns out I'm sitting in a screening, not only a screening, but a friends and family screening for a Mark Duplass film called Unlovable. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, well, as long as I'm here, might as well review it.
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and this film is written by this girl named Charlene de Guzman, who, ironically enough, ended up having a business relationship with Mark and John Hawke, because she was on Twitter throwing these tweets out, because she was in a love and sex addiction group at the time. So she would just randomly throw stuff out on Twitter in regards to that, and they were like, this can't be for real. And then Mark Duplass said that to Charlene. She's like, yeah, this is for real, and this is actually happening to me right now. He's like, ooh, I'm sorry. But there was this whole conversation about it. So she basically got a film deal off of tweets, which I thought was fascinating.
That is fascinating.
And the film deals with her hitting rock bottom with this sex addiction of hers. Like, when she found herself in a house with a bunch of naked men, I mean, naked men on the stairs, all over the place, and they offered to pay her for her services, she knew she had hit rock bottom and that she needed to go get some help. So she gets some help, and we go through that journey with her through her sponsor's brother, and through her sobriety for 2 years. It is the most, and the film is called Unlovable, but it is the most lovable film I've ever seen. It's very lovable. She's lovable. The film is really great. It's a small indie film. I don't know what's going to happen to it after South by Southwest, but I, for one, I liked it, y'all. So Mark Duplass and Charlene de Guzman, kudos for you, because it was fantabulous. I loved it, and I had a good time. And I'm sorry I crashed your screening. I really didn't do it on purpose, but, you know, there was that. So, oh, my God, we did it. We got through everything.
That was pretty quick, too, right?
It was pretty quick. Yeah. We got through everything. And I just want to say that I'm so grateful for Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos for giving us this opportunity to have this platform for Black Tomatoes. And you guys should go check her out over at SiriusXM. You know, her show over there, Maria Menounos, the show on the SiriusXM. Check her out and tell her that Scott Menzel and Carla Renata from Black Tomatoes sent you. You can check us out not only on YouTube, but you can check us out on iTunes and some other little apps. You'll find them. I'll let you know in the chat room because I'm so frazzled from talking about all these movies. I can't think of them all. But you can find me, your host, Carla Renata, at The Curvy Critic across all social media platforms. And where can we find you, Scott?
The Other Scott M.
The Other Scott. Say it right there.
The Other Scott M. On Twitter and Instagram. Scott Menzel on Facebook. We Live Entertainment to find my written reviews.
Oh, my God. And you can go to thecurvycritic.com to find my written reviews. That's it for this edition of Black Tomatoes, y'all. Thank you so very much for joining us and supporting us and listening. And go check out the films and see what we had to say on our sites, weliveentertainment.com and thecurvycritic.com. Bye!
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live. Cipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.